Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. I really do. It kind of surprised me sometimes. Shouldn't say that, should I? But you've been out all week, and you're here again. I just appreciate that so very, very much. And once again, I appreciate Brother Barton being here and Mrs. Barton, and I appreciate them spending the week here with us, and we've enjoyed it. It's been a blessing, and I know it's been a blessing. We've had a lot of good response, good remarks, and I know it's been a blessing. And again, I want to remind you that if you miss any of those messages, they are available, and you can buy them individually or $20 for the whole set of 11, which is a little less than $2 a message. And so I would encourage you to do that. Take some home. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I always get the sword CDs from the After Sword Conference, and about a year later, I'll go back and listen to them all over, and they're new all over again. It's just sometimes. In fact, it's been a year or so ago. I started from my first pack in 1987, and we've been in just about every year. I think we missed one or two out of those years, and I just started listening one through another. Just kept on going. And I tell you, sometimes there's one, two, three punches. We'll do a work that maybe we can't quite shove it off, can't quite shrug it off, and God does a work. And I appreciate Brother Barton allowing the Lord to use him for that. And I appreciate him being here tonight. And Lord, give us what we have here.
God bless you. You're glad to be here. Would you say amen? Amen. What a great crowd on Wednesday night after you've had such a busy week. It looks to me, as I look out over the congregation, we have just under 953 here tonight. There might be a whole lot under, but it's under. And so I praise the Lord that you're here. You're encouraging people, and Glenda and I have loved our 4 or 5 days with you. You're very gracious, and the pastor's taking care of us, a good motel room to rest, and good food to eat, and a good fellowship, and the joy has been ours. And we praise the Lord for all that he's done for us. You've got a tremendous pastor and a wonderful staff, and I just praise the Lord for what not only has been done, but I'm excited about what's going to be done in the future, aren't you? That's wonderful, and praise the Lord for that. Just a word of encouragement before I bring the message God's put up on my heart, and I want it to be an encouragement too. But the Bible says in the book of Psalms 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's the responsibility of every person in the church, is to make sure that keep the unity of the church intact. And then the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So God requires us to keep the unity of the faith, and then he requires us to be a constant exhortation to others that are around us. Don't be negative, be positive, and encourage folks. Hey, somebody's here, everywhere you go, you find people that need a word of encouragement, whether it be checking out at the Walmart, or where they're coming to church, the person sits on the pew. They need some encouragement. And encourage your pastor, and encourage your staff. Encourage those that do special things here. They prepare, and they train, and they work hard. The people in the choir, the orchestra, the special music. They go to a lot of discipline so that they can be a blessing to you and bring glory and honor to the Lord. That's sermon number one. You glad you came? Praise the Lord for all that you've done for us. I appreciate it. Open your Bibles, please. Now to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 28. Now it's just us home folks here tonight. And I praise the Lord that I really feel at home here at this church. Now I want to tell you this before I get started. If you see anybody going to sleep, would you just reach over and hit them real hard? I've learned a long time ago it's easier to settle a fight and referee a fight than it is to raise the dead. So if you do that, I appreciate it. Would you stand, please, if you found Matthew chapter 28, and I'll read the Word of God if you're able to stand. And thank you so much, Pastor, for the privilege of being here. My wife and I have loved it. The book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for a good week that you have given Max Barton. I've enjoyed every moment here. I believe, Heavenly Father, that I'm going to leave with more challenge and more excitement in my life to serve you than I had when I came. I thank you, dear Lord, for the messages that I've heard, the songs, the fellowship, of getting acquainted with these people and observing their friendliness, observing, Heavenly Father, the way that they love each other. And Lord, it's a mark of a great church, and I praise the Lord for it. Now use me in these moments, in this service, dear Lord, that might challenge the folks, that this message, dear Lord, might be a pivotal point to help the church, dear Lord, become an even greater place of winning souls and in this day in which we're living. We'll give you the praise because we've asked it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, and you might be seated. Now, the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 especially, is known as the Great Commission. Probably you've heard dozens and dozens of sermons on the Great Commission. Well, you're going to hear another one tonight. Because the Great Commission is not an alternative. It is not the great alternative. It is not the great suggestion. It is the Great Commission that we call it. And when you begin to read the words of these verses, you understand that it was a great commission of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not something that man thought up. It is something that God has given as a mandate of the church to fulfill his purpose in getting the gospel out to the ends of the earth. Aren't you glad that you're a part of the movement of God in redeeming, not in redeeming lost souls, but in going and telling others about the message of redemption, how that they can be saved? The men of Gadara in the book of Mark chapter 5, you remember he was a wild man. He had to be separated from his family and society because of his wild nature. He lived out among the tombs, and Jesus came by in his life and cast the demons out of him. They went down into a herd of swine, and they were drowned. And here was the man of Gadara. He'd been a wild man, and now he was a changed man. He was able to go home for the first time in a long time. And because of what Jesus did for him, he wanted to go with Jesus wherever Jesus went. He said, I want to follow you, like someone was leading us in singing last night. Where he leads me, I will follow. And the man of Gadara wanted to go with Jesus throughout the land where Jesus traveled. Jesus said this to him in the 19th verse of the 5th chapter of Mark. Howbeit, he suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. May I ask you the question that I ask you to respond with an amen or whatever, if this is true. Has God ever done great things for you? Did you know what he expects you to do? He expects you to go tell somebody else. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things that thou hast done for thee. When we talk about the Great Commission and witnessing and winning souls, the tragedy of the church today is that there are multitudes sitting in our church pews that has never told anybody what the Lord had done for them. I remember when I got saved as a 12-year-old boy. It was different than this church. When I got saved down at Altoona, Alabama, we were just an old country church. We didn't have the Lord's Supper right here. We had benches, and that was the altar. We didn't call them benches. We called them benches down there in Alabama. That's the way what you call them. They were homemade. The benches in the church were made by a carpenter in the church out of one befores. That's where they were. They weren't tongue and groove. They were just put together. And when you'd sit down, when you would be sitting on one, somebody, heavy person, came in and sat on the other end of the bench, it would pinch your behind. And you would get up and you'd holler. Well, that's what we had as an altar. And I never will forget going forward at the end of the service and trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is the way we did it down there. The men would come over here and pray, and the women would come over here and pray. And they didn't pray much like you folks pray. Some would holler, hold on, hold on. They'd beat you in the back, say, hold on. Somebody else would say, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. I don't know what that had to do with anybody getting saved, but they did it. And we had one old lady in the church. She was a shouter. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say a shouter? Well, some of you do. Man, she would get happy, and she would jump and dance in a Baptist church all around the building. She was just filled with happiness and excitement. And she would always come to the altar if somebody else did, and she'd get down and pray with them, beat them in the back and say, hold on, beat them in the back again and say, turn loose. And I, the night that I got saved, I believe if I hadn't got saved when I did get saved, that she would have beat the devil out of me. I do believe. But I got saved. And when I got saved, did you know, I've always been a shy person. But when I got saved, I wanted to tell somebody else what happened to me. My Sunday school teacher was not at church that night. She was home with her little baby. She couldn't come to church on that Saturday night. She had to stay home with him. The first thing that I wanted to do is to go up the old schoolhouse hill at Altoona, halfway up the hill where she lived, and go in the door and to tell her what God has done for me. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Men, have you ever told your barber about the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, have you ever told your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever told the folks down the street or the person that you meet at the gas station or the Walmart or wherever, have you ever told them what the Lord has done for you? Do you ever get in an elevator, getting in the elevator to hospital, go to the fifth floor, to the sixth floor, whatever? It is nothing but wasted time. Have you ever used that wasted time to be a witness? Have you ever got in there and, well, I don't want to preach a sermon, but I will just hum a little hymn, and you start humming, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Folks in front of you will turn around and look at you like you are not. But you have given a reminder to them that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something for you. Now, the Great Commission is found in the book of Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, as I study the Bible, I'm not a very smart person, but as I study the Bible and I read it two or three times a year in the New Testament, sometimes I read it once a month. You can do that by reading 9 chapters in the New Testament every day. In 30 days, you can read the New Testament. It's not a long book to read. And so as I read the Bible, I believe that God tells us that this is the work of the church. That is, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, that lost people may be saved. It is the Magna Carta of evangelism, this Great Commission. It's the marching orders of the Supreme Commander, the proclamation of the King of Kings to his kingdom citizens, those of us that are saved. It is Christ's imperative for all who name his name. Now, some folks believe that to be a soul winner, you've got to have the gift of soul winning. You study the Bible and see if there's any such thing in the Bible mentioned anywhere of the gift of winning souls. There is no such thing as a gift. It's just something that you do when you get saved. Go tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ, like that man of Gadara. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world, had that committed unto him the ministry and imputing in Christ, imputing the world unto himself. Reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. If you're saved tonight, God has commissioned you to tell somebody else about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what the gospel is. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, I declared to you the gospel that Jesus Christ lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel. That's the good news. Do you ever get bored with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever gotten complacent of the fact that you once were lost, but now that you're saved? Praise God for the grace of God. If it had not been for the grace of God, some of us would have already been in the lake of fire. Had it not been for the grace of God, all of us would be there someday if we haven't gotten saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage is often called the Great Commission. But don't confuse the Great Commission with the Great Commandment. Commission is something that you go do. The commandment is given to us in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 36 through 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law, he says. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This This is the first and greatest commandment. May I ask you a question tonight? Do you love God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt in full? Would you say amen? You love Him. Well, the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize what He's done for you. He has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So somewhere down the road, we'll have an opportunity of telling somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel says in Daniel 12, 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. As we think about winning souls or evangelism, someone has defined it as this. Evangelism is the act of presenting to the unsaved the evangel or the good news of the gospel of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just stop right here, and I'm going to meddle. You glad you came? Say amen. I watched the TV this afternoon, and I saw the Pope, and I saw the multitudes, and I saw the folks that were honoring this man, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm respectful for whatever people believe. But I sat there and I saw all of the things they do, and I said, I wonder why they do that. That's not in the Bible. I wonder why they dress like that. That's not in the Bible. Wouldn't it be something if Brother Sterling came in Sunday morning dressed like the Pope dressed today? I don't mean to be disrespectful. I really don't. But I saw all of that, and my heart was stirred to think that many multitudes of people think that is the way that we serve God, and that's going to save us because of all of the things that they do. And even the other day, I saw a rainbow rosary that the homosexual crowd is supposed to use when they do their Hail Mary. Now, I just thought, of all of the ignorance that is in the world and folks that depend upon something of man-made works, when the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. I want to tell you something about Max Barton. He deserved to die and go to hell. And the reason he deserves to die and go to hell is because his sin comes short of the glory of God. Just like the Pope. The Pope's no different than you. He's no different than Brother Sterling. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is an imperative. We are to tell somebody else what He has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 and 20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now listen to this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we represent Christ upon this earth. That's not like being a vicar. One stands in between, but we are an ambassador representing the one that gave us the Great Commission. As we go out tomorrow, you can tell folks, hey, I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several things that I want you to see in this simple message. Number one, I want you to consider that what I'm saying tonight is central in Scripture. It's not just something I thought up, but soul winning book. It is central in the Scripture that this Baptist church believes that God's Word is inspired in every word. We believe in verbal inspiration. If God said it, I think Brother Allison covered that real well in his messages this week. It is central in the Scripture. 2 Timothy 4, 5, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. That's to all of us. It was to him. And to do the work of an evangelist, of telling someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was the divine example that Jesus gave us. The book of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a powerful, impacting verse that Luke 19, 10 is. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Some people believe in Jesus, say, oh, he was a great teacher. He didn't come just to be a great teacher. He came on a redemptive message, a redemptive of going to the cross of Calvary and taking the sins of the whole world upon himself, dying for the sins of the whole world, a divine example of the Lord Jesus. Jesus sought to win Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and Zealots. He interviewed rulers of the Sanhedrin, Samaritans, Galatians, Galileans, Greeks, Romans, and other Gentiles. His soul winning led him to deal with common people and wise people and publicans and harlots and little children and soldiers and thieves and beggars and fishermen and tax collectors and men and women. Jesus gave us an example. Peter says that he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So, Jesus was that example. Then, as we see, not only Jesus was an example, but we find it was the decreed instruction to his disciples. This is what he gave his disciples to do. He says in the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 21, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Every one of us in this building tonight that's saved, he sent us into the world. The disciples took it seriously. They never ceased trying. Their passion for souls was kept aflame by constant spiritual fellowship with Christ and also by continual efforts to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm an old guy, and I've been around for a while. And as you get older, you have a right to look back over life and make some assessments of life. David did in Psalms 37. That Psalms 37, David wrote that when he was an old man. I don't know what age he was, but I do know he was an old man because he confessed it. A lot of old people won't confess that. He says, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So he looked back at his life, and he made some assessments based upon what God has done. And I can make some assessments looking back and see what God has done. I remember in Baptist churches when I started preaching as a 17-year-old, and then I started church pastoring a church when I was 21. I was 21 to mature and knew everything about pastoring a church. I was 21 years of age, and I went off to conferences, and man, they emphasized soul winning, winning people during the week and bringing them down the aisle on Sunday and getting them baptized, and churches all across America were winning souls. Baptizing them, churches were growing, and then the 80s came, and preachers said, "Hey, you folks have just emphasized soul winning, y'all. That's just such a simple message, and we need to be more scholarly. We need to teach more. We need to disciple more." But it's impossible to disciple somebody that you haven't won first. And things began to change in the 80s, and then the 90s it changed, and then we came. And when 2000 came, it getting worse and worse and worse, and churches became more liberal, and they have gotten away from the soul-winning impact to be a New Testament church. Study the book of Acts. If you want your church to be a New Testament church, you study the book of Acts, and you discover that they were constantly winning souls, and the priority and the major emphasis of the church was winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you go and preachers want to sound like a deep scholar, feed the sheep, and they keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. They get so fat they can't go out and do anything. Oh, how the church needs to, yes, teach the Word of God as your preacher. Preach the Word, be instant in season. But the Word commands us to go and to bring the gospel to those that are lost. So here it is, central in the Scripture, the disciples, they took it seriously. They never ceased trying. The passion of souls was kept aflame by constant spiritual fellowship with Christ and also by continual efforts to win others. Peter and John, when persecuted, said, "We cannot but speak the things which were seen and heard." You might ought to start remembering that verse, because the day may come, for some younger folks, if the Lord tarries, is coming, that our society and the country that we live in will be so persecuting Christians that you will have to make a choice if you will speak for Christ or will you bow the knee to the gods of this world. I believe that. Not only was it decreed instruction to the disciples, but it was declared by the early Christians and churches. John the Baptist pointed men to the Lamb of God. And John chapter 1, verse 36, and again the next day after John stood with his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's him coming right there. That is going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And it's our duty as well. Andrew brought his brother Simon to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. 120 Christians had testified in Acts chapter 2, verse 6. And every man heard them speak in his own language about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, 3,000 people got saved that day because the disciples preached the gospel. And they heard it through the miraculous, not the miraculous tongue, but the miraculous ear. They heard the disciples preach in their own language. That is a miracle. The miracle of the ear. Everybody talk about speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2 is a miracle of the ear. The disciples spoke in their language, but those that heard it from other countries heard it in their language. They heard it in their ear. Somewhere between the tongue of the disciples preaching and the ear of those that were of other nations, God did a miracle. And they heard the gospel in their own language and they got saved. And 3,000 of them were added to the church that day. Deacon Stephen, so dedicated to his purpose that he did it in spite of being stoned to death. Deacon Philip was so ablaze with love for souls he was able to conduct a great citywide revival in Samaria and then with equal ease go to the desert to lead to Christ the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul witnessed. He says, Romans chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." And he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Do you have a burden to see somebody saved? Oh, listen. He says, "Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." I said that it's central in Scripture. Secondly, it is central in victorious Christian experience. No experience of a Christian can compare with soul winning in its satisfaction of the yearning of the Christian heart. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." You win somebody to the Lord and see what it'll do for you personally. Not just for them, but for you. I told you Sunday morning about the 82-year-old man that got saved that the youth pastor Doug Weber led to the Lord on Saturday. I played golf with him the week before. And it wasn't Doug Weber that really led him to the Lord. He took the Bible and explained to him the plan of salvation and led him through the process and he got saved. But I think it was two other men that really influenced him for Christ. And that was, one was a guy that I play golf with sometimes, and this man moved down the street from one fella, and they got acquainted out on the street, and he told him that he played golf. Well, they got together, and so he started going golf with them, and then they talked him into coming to church. And as I mentioned, I was at church the first Sunday that he was there, sitting right in front of him, and I got acquainted with him. I think those two men that took him to the golf course and influenced him to come to church is probably had as much to do with his salvation as Doug Weber going by there on Saturday. And you may not see that, but I think so. And we can go out and bring them in that God's house may be full. And as we do that, we're getting them under the sound of the gospel. And when he heard the preacher preach the truth, he was in a church all of his life. But it was a church that did not teach salvation by grace. It was a church that taught salvation by works. And he heard the message of salvation by grace, and he got saved. And, oh, you talk about those two men now. I'm anxious to get home and see what they have to say about Mr. Charlie getting saved last Saturday. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful Christian experience. No experience of a Christian can compare to that. It satisfies the soul of the Savior. Even Jesus said to his disciples, when they went away in the book of John, and he'd been talking to that woman at the well. He says, "My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me." Thirdly and lastly, soul winning evangelism is urgent, incentive, and in need. It's urgent that we do it. Why do we need to win souls for Christ? Well, number one, we ought to do it because we've been obedient to Christ. He has commanded us. We do it. We're obedient. Secondly, we ought to do it to assure the future of Lighthouse Baptist Church. What am I saying? If you don't bring new people in the church, your church will ultimately die. And listen, God did not instruct us to win souls just to keep the church alive. He told us to go and win souls. And when you go and win souls, all of them might not come to Lighthouse Baptist Church, but some of them will. And a church that is interested in winning souls, God's going to send folks there to get saved that nobody's even witnessed to in the church. When you do that, what God says, lo, I am with you always. And so to assure the future of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, praise God, some of you have been saved here in the last few years. And you've been added to the church. And the church is to reach out and find folks and win them and teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. To have God's blessings upon you, you've got to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. To create a personal joy and fulfillment in your life, you've got to tell someone else about Jesus. So it is central and victorious experience, and it's urgent. Why in the world is it urgent? Because the scriptures demand us doing it. If God said it, we ought to do it. The debts that we owe demands that we do it. As we think about Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. We are in debt to tell the story to those that are lost. We have a story to tell, a wonderful story of Jesus. And then not only the debts that we owe, but the destructive power of sin. Everybody you meet tomorrow, they're either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. You have the message to tell them. You might not win them to the Lord just by telling them, but the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God never gets away when you sow the Word of God. It is always there. It's powerful. They can't forget the Word of God when God's Word begins to work upon them. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. May I ask you the question? Have you told anyone about Jesus? That's my message tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Now I want us to think. Just sit and think just for a moment. Now, Brother Barton, I've heard the message. It's central in Scripture. Jesus left us an example. He told us that if we love Him, that we're to keep His commandments. I want to ask you, do you have a burden to see souls saved? As a Christian, do you have a burden to see somebody trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? Would you just slip that hand up? You have a burden. Oh, every one of us ought to. Listen, the Bible says this in closing. How can they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? When He uses that word preacher, He's not just talking about the preacher like Brother Sterling. He's talking about each and every one of us. We're to tell somebody else about Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, in the moment of invitation when the pastor comes, I pray that You'll deal with hearts. Maybe some need to come to the altar and make a commitment. God, I'm going to go out and tell somebody else what Jesus has done for me. Lord, various people throughout the week that I've been here, they told me about when they got saved. And Lord, I know if they're telling me here during the week of Bible conference that they've been telling somebody else as well. So, God, give us a burden. Lord, give soul winners in this church. And Lord, on Sunday mornings, may people come down these aisles with those that have led to the Lord to encourage the pastor. And Lord, then they might follow Christ in believers' baptism. And then the pastor, in his study and preparation, will preach the subjects from the Bible that will teach them all things that You have commanded us. Bless us tonight. Make this church even greater than it is now. And we'll give You the praise, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, spoken to your heart.